Now, in your Bibles today, I'm looking in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 10. Jeremiah, chapter number 10 today. I want to read one verse. I hope it'll be a real help to you as we preach the Word of God today. Jeremiah, chapter number 10. Look at verse number 10. Jeremiah, chapter 10, verse number 10. The Bible says, "But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At His wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide His indignation." Now, our Father, as we come to You today, we thank You for the privilege of preaching about You, and I pray You'd help us to lift You up in Jesus' name, confessing every sin. Amen and amen. Now, Jeremiah, if you read through the book of Jeremiah, and I'll be honest with you, when we read our Bibles, many times we come to the prophets. And I used to do this, and sometimes the flesh will still say, "Oh my, that's boring. We don't really understand all that." But the more you read the prophets, the more you will begin to understand the prophets. And Jeremiah was a prophet in the days of the kings of Israel and Judah. Jeremiah was a prophet in wicked days when Baal worship was more prominent almost than godly worship. Jeremiah was a prophet in days when the preachers preached peace. And even they said, "Let's don't hear the words of Jeremiah." And they were mean to Jeremiah. They put him in a dungeon. They were hostile to his message. And so we pick up in this today. In the middle of all this, Jeremiah proclaims something about God. And so I'm preaching on this subject today, words that describe the character of God. Words that describe the character of God. Now, in the middle of this evil day, in the middle of this wicked day, Jeremiah had something good to say about God. And I want to say today, in the middle of our wicked days, even in this nation, and in the day when it seems like that more people are turning away from God, and more people are falling away and falling into sin, and more preachers are falling away and falling into sin, I'm still glad the character of God is clean. I'm glad the church is right, the Bible's the book, amen, heaven's still the home, and grace will still save sinners, and the blood of Christ will wash them clean, amen. Well, I want to give you some words that describe the character of God. Number one, I'll give you the word true. The word true. In verse number 10, he said, "But the Lord." Notice the Lord there is capital letters. That's the Lord Jehovah in the Old Testament, Jesus in the New Testament. He said, "But the Lord is the true God." I'm glad today, no matter what happens, no matter who says what, the Lord is true. I'm glad the Bible is still right. And what God says is still right. And God is God no matter what, friend. And people say, "Well, I don't know what to believe. And what makes you think your God is better than any other God?" Friend, you'd better study your Bible and you'd better study history. This nation was founded upon Jesus Christ and Judeo-Christian values. That's what this country was founded on, the true God of heaven. You remember Elijah's day, don't you? And you remember, by the way, religion is dishonest. Did you know that? In Elijah's day, they did the same thing kind of that America's doing right now. And there was 3.5 years where it did not rain. And finally, one day, Elijah meets Obadiah, by the way. Poor Obadiah was a nervous sort of fella, I believe. And Obadiah said, "Boy, there ain't a land my master ain't searched for you." And Elijah said, "Go tell him that I'm here." And he said, "Oh, no, I ain't going to do that." He said, "The Spirit of God catch you away," and said, "He'll kill me." And he said, "No." He said, "Whether you tell him or not, I'm going to see him today." And Elijah seen Ahab, and Ahab's response to Elijah was, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" You know, to the world, we're a bunch of troublemakers. To the world, us Christians are the ones that's causing all the trouble. To the world, we're the ones that now they're going to use this tactic on us that we're mentally unsound. That's what they're going to use on the Christians. That's coming now. It's already been played out in this year's the things that's going on politically and all that. And so it's going to come now to the believer. And they're going to say, why, those Christians are sick. And listen, did you know that back in years ago, that was a tactic that the communists used? And I want to say this to you. We're not sick. We got the right answer. We have the truth of God. But now here, Elijah goes down there and he said, let's have a contest. And he said, the God that answers by fire, let's let them be God. And those prophets of Baal said, that sound good to us. But you know, it's amazing. Elijah had to keep warning them, or he warned them, don't you put no fire under now. I'm going to get a bullock. You get a bullock. And the God answers by fire. Let him be God. But in chapter number 18, he said, but put no fire under. He had to remind them again. You know why? False religion. You see, false religion will tell you a lie, ladies and gentlemen. And the devil would rather you believe a lie than to believe the truth. God's the God of truth. I want to show you something. I want to show you something today about, see, Jeremiah, in Jeremiah's day here in chapter number 10, they were full of religion. Religion wasn't the problem. I mean, they carried on their worship. Matter of fact, they worshiped probably more than the people that loved God did. I mean, they were in a way were more dedicated to Baal and some of those gods than the Christians were to the Lord. And that seems to be the way it is today. It's not a fact that we don't have religion. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got religion. If religion was water, we'd drowned in America right now. We've got religion. Oh, everybody claims to have something that they worship. The problem is everybody worships this and some worship that. But who's worshiping the true God today? Who's really worshiping the God of heaven? I'm going to tell you what false religion will do, and then I want to give you what God will do. Did you know false religion will lie you about your soul? Did you know that? It sure will. Why, religion says if you'll just do good and get in the church and join the church and make some kind of little decision and make some kind of little profession and do a little bit better, you'll go to heaven. Did you know that's a lie of the devil? Did you know you can't do good to go to heaven? Nothing you do has anything to do with you going to heaven. You can't work your way there. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I want to tell you something. Did you know religion will lie you? But wait a minute. God's true. God lays out the truth about a man's soul. God gives a man a chance to go to heaven. God gives you the absolute way and the right way and the helpful way to go to heaven. Amen. God's a God of truth. Why, God's not unjust. He's laid it out in the Bible how a man can be saved and how a man can go to heaven. He sure has. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. He said that if thou shalt confess, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse number 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Verse 13, for whosoever, that means anybody, everybody, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Religion will lie you. There's a crowd today that will tell you that there's a crowd elected to go to hell and there's a crowd elected to go to heaven. I'm going to tell you, God never elected anybody to go to hell. That's false doctrine. That's wrong. That's false. But God's truth is that everybody can be saved. If you're listening to the sound of my voice today, my friend, unless you've just sinned your day of grace away and God's left you, and most of the time that's not what's happened, but it is that way in some case, but most time it's not. But if you're listening to me today, you can be saved. And God, my friend, God wants to save you. I'm going to tell you a prayer. You that are saved don't never have to pray. You don't never have to pray, Lord, if it's your will, save somebody. It is God's will. You don't have to pray that. The Bible said that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You don't never have to pray, is it God's will? You don't never have to pray that, because it is God's will for somebody to be saved. Okay, now let me say, God tells you the truth about your soul. He's a true God. Now, did you know religion will tell you a lie about your sickness? Did you know that? Why, friend, you've never seen the day when so many people are going to these people to be healed of their sickness. Religion will tell you that if you'll go to somebody and they put their hands on you and pray some prayer, you can be healed. Religion will tell you that if you've got enough faith, you can be healed. Let me say this. Can I say on the authority of the Word of God, that crowd's a bunch of liars, and I'm not being ugly, I'm not being mean, but those were sign apostolic gifts in the book of Acts. Now listen, hold the mule just a minute. Stay with me. Did you know that in the book of Acts, my friend, that those were sign gifts to the Jew? The Jews seek after a sign. I want to remind you that a medical doctor wrote the book of Acts. I want to remind you that, okay? So you're using Acts for your church doctrine. A medical doctor wrote that. And this, throw away your medicine and God will take care of you. I know where there's a man. I know where he died. He believed that if he'd just trust God and throw his medicine away, and he threw it away and he died. He died. He was a well-meaning man. I believe the man's in heaven right now. I believe he's in heaven. I believe he's walking instead of going, but I'll tell you what happened. He got mixed up in his doctrine. Ladies and gentlemen, may I tell you that we need to know the truth, and God is true. The Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. You say, preacher, what are you going to do with that verse? The Bible where it said, let him call for the elders of the church. I ain't going to do anything. We'll leave it in there. That, my friend, there's a lot of misunderstanding about that verse. First of all, the elders of the church are preachers. And God said, call for the men of the church. And that verse was to be used when somebody was at home and is too sick to go to church. Said, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint him with oil. And that oil is a type of medicine. They used oil back in those days to rub people down with. I mean, just, you know, it would relax them and soothe them. And then he said, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now, let me say this to you. I believe this. It is God's will to heal some people. I remember a lady several years ago. She's a secretary to a great preacher friend of mine right now. I remember when this lady called for the elders of the church. She was attending the church where I was attending at that time. And me being a preacher, I was in on this. And the lady had cancer. And I remember, I never told the lady this. I never told her this. We stand there that day. And we bowed our heads and we put our hands on her and prayed. Now, not that we done the healing. Now listen, hold the mule just a minute. No, sir. No, sir. There's no healing power in any man, but God does the healing. But I tell you, that day we put our hands, the Holy Ghost said to me, he said, I have healed that woman. Ladies and gentlemen, that's been at least 16 years and probably longer than that, been at least 16 years. And I've never heard tell of that woman having another problem. Now, I want to say this to you, friend. The devil lie you, and religion will lie you about your sickness, but the Lord will tell you the truth. There are people that God will raise up. There was a man the other day. One of the men in my church is telling me this story. And I don't really remember it, but he said, preacher, there's a man that we've been praying for here at the church. We've been requesting prayer for him. And so he said this man was, there's no way this man was going to live. And so he came in Wednesday night. He said, you ain't going to believe it, but I had lunch with that man today. Today, the man's walking around. He's living. He's okay. I'm telling you, God is able. God's not dead in the day and hour which we're living in, but he's a true God. God does everything in order. Amen. Then religion not only will lie you about your sickness, but let me say that religion will lie you about your substance. Religion will lie you about your money. I mean, you ever watched any of these so-called television preachers? And they'll say, now you got to reap and sow and sow and reap. And if you'll send me $20, God will give you $200 back. God never said that. God never said that in the Bible. You say, what are you going to do with Luke 6:38? I ain't going to do nothing with them. I'll leave it in the Bible. Amen. Give and it shall be given unto you. He talked about pressed down, shaken together. And I believe that. I believe that. Years ago, in the early days of gospel broadcasting, and I only tell you this for God's glory, not mine. I only tell you this for God's glory, not mine. We was trying to get this ministry off the ground. God laid on my heart to give $1,000 to this ministry. $1,000. That's a one and three zero. $1,000, a lot of money. $1,000. without hesitation, I gave $1,000. As far as I know, I might have wrestled a little bit about it, but I don't believe I did much. Give $1,000. Next week or two, I was out preaching somewhere. I wasn't the pastor. My home church, I wasn't the pastor. Another pastor was the pastor, but I was out preaching somewhere. One of the men of the church called me that night when I got home. I said, "Preacher, we did something tonight. We had a meeting, and the deacons and the pastor did, and we did something for your ministry at Gospel Broadcasting." I said, "What's that?" He said, "We give you $10,000. Y'all listening to me, everybody? Amen. I mean, listen, I trade $1,000 for $10,000 any day, but now wait a minute. Now, religion will lie you. God will tell you the truth. The Bible tells you to give. Now, we're not to give to get. No, sir. You're never to give anything just so you can get something back. We are to give to get, to give again. I heard a preacher the other day. I was amazed at what this preacher said. His church was started in 1961. I heard this man tell this just the other day. It was amazing to me. He said, probably, and he wasn't bragging. He was just stating facts. He said, probably we have given $10 million to mission. Can you get your hands around $10 million? $10 million. Now, I'll tell you something, brothers and sisters. Religion will lie you, but God will be true. But God's promised to take care of me about my substance. Now, some say, "Oh, you got to give this in order for God to take care of you." No. Now, you do got to pay your tithes. I believe that. If you ain't paying your tithes to the church and you're not giving what the Bible set forth for you to give, then I don't believe God's obligated to take care of you, because he said the righteous, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. But I don't have to give my money to some television preacher in order for me to be blessed. God tells me the truth about my money. Amen. And now, let me say that God's true. God don't get you in all kinds of messes. Now, I'm going to say this. Religion will lie you about your situation. Religion will tell you that all this positive thinking and everything's going to be real good and your situation's going to be all right and you can just do anything you want to do. You can choose who you want to marry and where you want to work and who you want to watch. Well, let me say this to you, friend. Let me say this. If you're submitted to God, you won't choose who you're going to marry. You won't choose where you're going to work. And you won't choose where you're going to preach. You'll let God do all that. Your life will be hid in God's. You see, a religion today has lied us about submitting to the Holy Ghost in our situations. Religion has lied us. Amen. I mean, our young people now are being told, "Why, you just choose anybody you want to. Why, go on these sites and you can just find you somebody." Well, I'm going to ask you a question. What about letting God find that person? Amen. I was watching the other day on video. I was watching from the camp meeting there. And I told my wife, she's never been to the camp meeting, never been to that camp meeting. And I pointed out on my phone as we was watching, I said, about right in there somewhere. And I pointed out the best I could was the spot on the last Tuesday of June, 2006, in the altar of that camp meeting in the state of Georgia. God told me he's going to give me a wife right there in that altar. Now, I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Religion will lie you about your situation. Religion will tell you everything's going to be all right. But I'm going to say in Jeremiah's day, the preachers lied, but God will tell you the truth. Amen. God will never let you down. God will tell you the truth about your situation. By the way, some prayers God will say no to. Did you know that? Why, God's not just a yes God. Sometimes you pray about something, God said no. Sometimes you'll pray about a church and God said, I don't want you over there. Sometimes you'll pray about a ministry and God said, no, don't want you there. Did you know every preacher ain't to be in every ministry? I think that's been one of my big problems over the years. I've tried to get in every ministry everybody else got into. Did you know I'm to do what I'm supposed to do? And I'm not to worry about the other fellow. God ain't called everybody to have Bible college. God ain't called everybody to have a Christian school. God ain't called everybody to have a radio station. But God will be truthful with you. He's a true God. God's so true. Amen. Now, religion will lie you about sin. Religion will lie you about sin. Religion will tell you that sin's all right. Why, the modern religious leaders of our day will get on television right now and they ask them how they stand against certain sins. And those sins are so politically accepted in this country that those religious leaders will decline to come. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to say it like this. You were born, everybody listening to me today, everybody that's on the sound of my voice, you were either born a man or you were born a woman. Amen. Amen. And if you don't know what you were born, you got problems. Amen. Because you were born one or the other, man or a woman. By the way, God did not intend for you to change what you were born. And you ain't one trapped in another one's body. Amen. No, sir. Now, I'm going to say this. Religion alike, God tell you the truth about sin. God said, I'm going to judge sin. God said, I'm going to judge homosexuality. God said, I'm going to judge divorce and remarriage. God said, I'm going to judge abortion. Somebody said, it's a woman's right to choose. God never gave anybody the right to choose murder. Never did. Now, you see, they're playing this on us today. Hate crimes. Well, if you say anything about homosexuality, you hate them. I didn't never said I hated people that were homosexual. I never said that. I never said that. I said what they're doing is a sin. I never said that I hated the little girl that had an abortion, but what she did and what the doctor did was a sin. One doctor made this statement. I didn't make the statement. The doctor made the statement. He said that abortion was more profitable than an oil well. He said being an abortion doctor was more profitable than an oil well. I tell you what I'd rather have a well full of oil than a well full of blood. Did y'all get what I just said? I'd rather have a well full of oil than I would a well full of blood. Amen. You know why? God's a true God. Now, God's true, and we'll study more about this in the message, but God's true about sovereign judgment. Now, you know what? Somebody said, well, preacher, and by the way, I agree with a preacher I heard say this the other day. I believe we ought to preach on hell. But I don't believe we ought to preach like we're glad people are going there. Can I say this to you? I would not wish, if I've got an enemy, if I've got anybody out there that hates me, if I got anybody out there that don't like me, I would never wish my worst enemy to go to hell. Because according to the Bible, I know what hell is. Hell's got fire in it. Hell's going to be tucked out of, the people's going to be tucked out of hell. They're going to stand before God in a judgment that's going to be so severe the heavens and the earth are going to run from God on that day. And then they're going to be cast into the lake of fire where the devil is and the false prophet and the beast are. They're going to be cast there. Now, ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, and I want you to listen to me, I know that hell is real. And I know some men that I believe have died in my lifetime and went to hell without God. I know some men that I believe have died by there. I know one by his own testimony 3 weeks before he died. He said, I'm going to hell with the rest of them. That's what he said. Now, I'm trying to tell you that God is not a God that's just all love and no judgment. Now, wait a minute. God don't want to judge anybody. God don't want, by the way, did you know if you die and you go to hell, did you know hell wasn't prepared for you? You're going to be out of place in hell. You know, if you build a house, you prepare that house for your needs. If you're handicapped, you put a ramp up there where you can get a wheelchair in. If you want a special room for something, if you work at home and you want an office, you build it in your house. You see, you prepare that home to fit your needs. You die, they go down to the funeral home, they get you a casket that fits your needs. You go to the hospital and they give you an operation that fits your needs. You go to a new car salesman, they give you a car. If you got 7 kids, you don't need a little old bitty a car that gets 50 miles a gallon. Amen? You got to have a big old van or something. And what I'm talking about is this. Hell don't fit nobody's needs. Hell wasn't prepared for you. My friend, listen, I don't want to see anybody go to hell. Why, anybody that gets glory out of somebody going to hell, brother, you need to get an altar. Oh, no, friend, I don't get no glory out of that. But God, you know why I have to tell you the truth? Because the Bible tells you the truth. Matter of fact, a year ago today, from the day I'm preaching this message, 1 year to this day, I stood in a doctor's office in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And that doctor looked at me and he said, there's nothing I can do. I can't do anything for this man. And that man that he's talking about was my little old frail, failing daddy, who died less than a month from that time. And I remember getting in that car from Winston-Salem. They put my daddy back in that little van, hauled him back to the nursing home. And we got in that car that evening. I'll never forget it. We started up the road, and I told my wife, I said, honey, it's on a Wednesday. And I said, honey, we got to go do something I don't want to do. Although my mom and daddy had not lived together in 5 years, I felt it. I felt an obligation to go sit down and talk to my mom in person. I remember coming up. I forgot how when. I think we come up Highway 421, hit the interstate. No, I don't know how we did it. Maybe went through Yadkinville. I don't remember. I believe we did. But I remember coming up 601 that evening. I believe we did. I think we got off at Yadkinville and come up 601, Yadkinville, North Carolina. Got down there at that little trailer home. And I remember going in there. And I remember sitting down and telling my little mama, I said, Mama, I said, Daddy's not going to make it. He's not going to live. Doctors, there ain't nothing they can do about that. Let me tell you something, brother. What I'm trying to say is this. I got no glory out of telling my mama that. I didn't jump up and down and shout and get no glory out of that. And you know, I guess I've been, I know I have, and you have, preachers. I've been guilty about preaching on hell like I'm glad people's are going there. Let me tell you something. I ain't glad you're going there today. Man, if you're lost without God, I met a man several years ago. He worked for me. And one day I witnessed to him. I said, I want to know, are you saved? And I'll never forget what this man said to me. It still rings in my ears. This man said to me, well, I try to do everybody good. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not the way you go to heaven. Oh, friend. You know, God help me. I want to be a better witness. I prayed this year for God, and I don't believe I've got a hold of that yet. That God help me be a better witness. You know why? I tell you, the devil will lie to you about the sovereign judgment, but God will tell you the truth. Now, Jeremiah said in his day, Jeremiah was a preaching, and they wasn't listening to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah said he's a true God. And you can believe it if you want to, but God's true. And brother, this generation that we got on the scene right now, you may not believe what I'm preaching to you today. You say, well, I got my own religion, and I got my own God. All right, you go ahead. I remember a teacher I had in the 8th grade, and I liked her. She was nice. A lot of people did not. I mean, she was rough and kind of firm, I guess you'd say. And in some ways I didn't like it, but I ended up really appreciating her. And looking back on it, I really ought to witness to her because I heard her make a statement one day, and I hope she's gotten saved since then. I've not seen her in over 30 years, probably 35 years. But she made a statement, and she said, my God's too good to send anybody to hell. Now, I'll tell you something. It ain't her God that's going to send nobody there. It's the God of heaven. Let me tell you something. God will tell you the truth. And by the way, you really send yourself. God gives you the choice. Now, not only did Jeremiah make the statement about, and I'm preaching on words that describe the character of God. God's truth, by the way, not all truth is bad. God will give you the truth about salvation. As I said, God will let you go to heaven. He'll tell you the good way. Amen. God will give you the good way. God is good. God will give you the good way of the scriptures. Did you know that? God tell you the good way. God will give you the truth. Man will tell you. I never forget this. A few months ago, I invited a man to church. And I tell you what, I got the coldest reception I ever got in my life, I believe. That man was friendly with me up until the time I mentioned church, and he turned me off like you'd turn a water faucet off. He said, I'll tell you right now, I won't go to church. He said, preachers are just out to get rich. You see what happened? The devil's lied to him. But let me tell you, God, if you go to church, God will tell you the truth about the church. There's some good people in church. Oh, there's some bad ones. But when I get a bad apple, I don't throw the whole bunch out the door, do you? Man, the church is still good. You go to church and get shouting and praising God, still good, ain't it? But God will tell you the truth about it. You know, there's still some good things. How many of y'all like to go to church and have a spell? How many of y'all like to go to church and get excited, do you? Does anybody like to go to church and get excited about God? Get excited about what God's are doing. Oh, I tell you what, I heard about men having revival meetings and people getting saved, and I rejoiced in it. You say, preacher, what about your church? Let me tell you something, brother. If it'll start somewhere, maybe it'll end up at my church. I'm not going to be one of these that say, well, it didn't happen in my church, so it must not be real. Oh, no, I'm for it, boy. I tell you what, man, if you're getting them saved, I'm for you. And, man, if they're getting birthed in, I'm for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just get them where you catch them at and get them saved. Now, number one, Jeremiah said is true. Then number two, I want to use the word living. I believe it's very important. I want to use the word living. You know, in Jeremiah's day, Jeremiah talked a lot about dead idols. And I'm going to say this probably going to get me in trouble right here. And I try not to get in trouble. I don't want to. That's why usually if I do a study or something, I probably do better preaching than I do just preaching, because I say things that get in trouble and people don't like what I say. But Jeremiah chapter number 10 is not talking about the Christmas tree. I just want y'all to know that. A lot of you have used that about hanging up a Christmas tree in your house. That is not at all what that's talking about. You're perverting the scriptures when you use that about a Christmas tree. Let me tell you something. The Christmas, the scriptures there is talking about, let's don't talk about what it's not talking about. Let's talk about what it is talking about. It's talking about idol gods. And the Bible said these people would take a tree out of the woods and they'd deck it with silver. I've never seen anybody put real silver on the Christmas tree. Have you? Never have. And they'd take the house and nail it to the wall. They'd fasten it. Never seen anybody nail a Christmas tree to the wall of you. But anyway, they were worshiping this stuff. And he said, you'll go out in the forest and you'll cut down wood and you'll burn it to make bread and you'll burn it to keep warm. And then you worship it as a god. And by the way, anybody knows anything about it knows it. Wood's dead. Why, you pray to a stick all you want to. It ain't no god. It can't hear you. It can't do anything. Now, here's the thing. I want to show you something about that. In Elijah's day, Elijah was a little bit before Jeremiah. Elijah had a little problem, had a big problem. Ahab was a sinner, and the land wasn't going right. And in 1 Kings 17:1, the Bible said, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, notice that word, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now let's go back to Jeremiah chapter number 10, verse number 10. What did Jeremiah say here in verse number 10? He used the word living. In verse number 10, he said, he is the living God. Not a living God, but the living God. Many years ago, they tried to start a movement in America, said God is dead. Well, I can tell you one reason I know he ain't dead, because when people die, they notify the next of kin. Nobody's ever told me God's dead. Can I tell you God's still living in the air which you and I are living in? I mean, even us fundamentalists. Most of us believe God's dead. Why, most of us don't believe God can send revival. I've had people tell me, why, good, they'll use this word. This shows you how unspiritual they are. Well, good luck, preacher, with that person. First of all, no such thing as luck. Don't tell me good luck. Good luck with that person, preacher. You'll never get them in church. Ain't no such thing as luck. Don't tell me good luck. There ain't no such thing as luck. And secondly, when you're saying that, you know what you're saying? I got a dead God. I got a dead God. Let me tell you something. God can do anything he wants to. God can take a black cow, make it eat green grass, and give yellow butter and white milk. God can do anything. Amen. God created this literal world in 24-hour days. God can do anything. Amen. Sure can. God is on the throne. And God is. Now, it's interesting that this word in 1 Kings chapter 17, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, and the same word in Jeremiah 10:10, the word living, is the same Hebrew word. And it means this. It means live, life, alive, running, living thing. It means living, alive. It means green as vegetation. May I say to you that God is green today? You know, in the wintertime, everything turns brown. And boy, it looks like we're living in a brown world, don't it? But if you'll hang on, I tell you what, God's still green. And the Bible's as green as vegetation, boys. And God's as green today. When that tree blooms out, that's chlorophene, whatever you call it, in the leaves. Turn that thing green. And I didn't pronounce that just right, but you chemists forgive me. But anyway, it's a sign of life. Can I tell you, God's still green to the church today? Brother, I've seen God in the past few months move in an unusual way. I've seen God save people. Amen. In my pastor's church that's having such a revival, people's leaving the service, turn around, going back and getting saved. Boy, that's old time religion. And that's what we've seen back in the 1970s. That's what we've seen years ago. People turn around, go back to the house of God and get saved. Invitations to go for an hour or two. That's what we've seen. We ain't seen much of that in the last few years. Can I tell you, God's green as vegetation, boy. We go through our winters, but we've been through some winters long enough. It's time to enjoy the victory. It's time to enjoy and let everybody know that our God's still green. Our God's still good. Amen. Living thing, living, alive, green as vegetation. I like this one. Flowing fresh like water. Fresh water. Amen. Fresh. Well, you know you got to have fresh water to live. Did you know that? Boy, did you know everything's fresh with God? Did you know this Bible is still as real and green and fresh today as it was yesterday? Hey, did you know God still is real as he was in Abraham's day when he came down, amen, and consumed those birds and the things that Abraham had to make that covenant with God? Did you know God still is real today as he was when he rolled back that Red Sea and 600,000 men plus women and children walked across on dry ground? Did you know God still is real today when he took that rebellious prophet Jonah and got him swallowed up by a whale, and that whale took him to the bottom of the ocean and kept him for 3 days and vomited him out on dry land, and he preached again? Did you know God is still as real as he was that day that he shut Noah and Miss Noah and the sons of Noah and their wives in that ark, and it began to rain, and then God remembered Noah. Hallelujah. I like that verse said, and the Lord remembered Noah. Amen. I'm glad God remembered me. Ain't you? How many of y'all have been through a storm lately and God's remembered you? How many of you have had to take a loved one down to the graveyard lately? And God's remembered. He's green, he's fresh and flowing, boy. I'll never forget the day, September the 13th, 2015. My old daddy's funeral. I never forget that day. My pastor was sitting down the front row, and my daddy had asked me to preach that funeral, and I let my brother have some, and me, and that's all we had. And I walked out. I thought I was big, boy. I thought I could handle that funeral. And I walked down that far aisle of the Ronda Baptist Tabernacle. And as I walked down that aisle, I broke down, boy. I mean, son, it hit me like a ton of bricks. That man had worked and toiled and sweated 8 and 12 hours a day and come home and smelt like wood, and you could smell it on him working down that furniture factory and keeping food on my table. He's dead. His body wasn't no life, and he's gone. It hit me, boy. And the devil hopped up on my shoulder and said, "You ought to got your pastor. Preacher said you ain't going to be able." But I was sitting there in that pew, and God became real green and fresh to me that afternoon. And I walked across there, and I got in that old pulpit. I got beside that piano, and my wife began to hit the notes on that old great hymn. It said, "When peace like a river attendeth my way." Glory to God. And I began to sing, "It is well, it is well, it is well, my soul." And I climbed that pulpit and tried to preach from Psalm 90, "Our life is like a tale that's told." Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, God became very real to me that day. I was laying on that stretcher, that hospital bed that day. One of the worst things I ever had done to me in my life. Boy, I mean, it's a bad procedure to me. I mean, it might not have been to you. That old doctor looked at me, I'll never forget it. And he said to me, "Ricky, I don't understand." He said, "Most people's coming off the table when we're doing this." But I didn't tell, I wanted to tell him, glory to God, there's somebody bigger than me and him and the nurse in that room. There's another trio in there. Glory to God, that, I'm about to leave this thing and shout, boys. I'm about to have a Holy Ghost spell right here preaching this. I tell you, Jeremiah said he's living in the days of all that Baal worship, and in the days of all that junk, and in the days of all that. I'm glad he's still living, glory to God. You turn the news on, our country's corrupt. Everywhere you go, there's a scandal. Everywhere you go, there's a mess. Everywhere you go, there's corruption. But I'm glad in the middle of all that, God is still real. Y'all getting a hold of that? God's still real. No matter who the president is, no matter who's directing the CIA, no matter who's ahead of the FBI, I'm telling you, God's still real. God's still alive. God ain't never took a nerve pill. Our God ain't never took a painkiller. His hair ain't gray. His nerves ain't shattered. He's never been to the psychologist. Why, some of y'all ought to get religious and shout right there. Amen. Why, listen, brother, he's never been sick. He's never blowed his nose a day in his life. Amen. He's never went to the doctor with a sinus infection and got an antibiotic. He's never been sick a day in his life. Hallelujah. He's never been on the operating table. They've never cut him open and took parts out of him. You know why? Because he's perfect. He's God. He's alive and he's living. Y'all ever thought about what Elijah did? Oh, we have worshiped that old dead God Baal, old image. And Elijah said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. He said, I want you to know something, Mr. Ahab. He said, the God I serve is living. Hallelujah. The God I serve is on the throne. I want you to know today the words that describe God is he's living. I mean, I'll get past this. It'll be all because I like it. Hey, y'all ever, the other night I did something. I told my wife the other day. I said, get me, I like chocolate better, but I said, get me some vanilla ice cream. My wife told me, they said, you love ice cream. I said, I love it. I do. I love ice cream. I tell you, I believe there'll be ice cream in heaven. God said, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Amen. And I was sitting there and I got that big old thing of vanilla. My wife don't like vanilla ice cream. And that's all right with me. Cause more for me, less for her. Amen. I'm just kidding about that. I give her anything she wants. But I sat there and I said, now you gonna eat it? And they said, no. Well, I just got it right out of the thing. I didn't put it in the bowl, nut. And I said, well, I've already unfroze this. That ain't a word, is it? I supposed to say defrosted. But I said, I've already defrosted. So I'm gonna eat. And boy, I got to eating that vanilla ice cream. And son, I couldn't. I mean, I made myself sick. I ain't gonna lie. I shouldn't have done that. That's wrong. That's glutton. I made myself sick. And let me tell you, when I get in a good spot, when I get in a barrel, you preachers know what I'm talking about. Y'all ever been in a barrel of vanilla ice cream preaching? I mean, you ever got on something, you just fell in the honey barrel. Glory to God. Woo! When I talk about my God on the throne, and I talk about how he lives, and he's fresh, and he's flowing, and he's alive. Glory to God, and he's lively, and he's active, and he's reviving. Well, once in a while, I get lower down than a snake's belly. In a wagon rut. You ain't y'all ever been there? Boy, I need God to come on the scene. I'll never forget this. It's even during that revival meeting that the pastor had there at the church 5 weeks. It's two different nights. I went to that meeting so burdened. I mean so burdened down. I remember the first night I went, I didn't go to the altar. I stayed in my seat. And God lifted a burden from me. And I went back 3 days later. You talk about a man under a burden. You talking about a man carrying the weight of the world upon his shoulders, boy. And I'll tell you, in that altar that night, and I never forget it, there's one of the preachers, one of the local men of God. Boy, he's a good brother. And he come to my office the other day and sat down and talked to me. And I said, brother, that's you in the altar. And I put your arm around me, wasn't he? He said, yeah. I said, I want to thank you for that. Brother, I tell you, glory to God, my burden, God lifted my burden that meeting. You know why? Because God revived me. Oh, you know what? You know how come God can revive you? Cause he's alive. You get revived when you get around something that's alive. Amen. I like substance. Our God is alive. He's sustaining. You know what? It also means, it's an interesting word. It means the word maintenance. It means living thing. I want to go back to that in just a minute. Maintenance. Revival. Amen. In other words, like you, but it means maintenance. Did you know that if you don't maintain something, it'll go down? Did you know God maintains his church? Oh, yeah, because God knows we're human beings. You see, we get discouraged. We get out of the will of God. We stray. We get in a mess. God said, I'm going to fix that. God said, I'm going to fix that problem. I'll bring it back. You know, a church will go through a problem. And it looks like you're going to have to close the doors. And all of a sudden, God do a little maintenance work. And he'll send somebody by. I'm about to have another spell. Glory to God. Why, somebody will get out and get their home broke. Somebody get out and they'll get their home broke up. Boy, man, woman, they're apart. All of a sudden, they'll go to the house of God. Woo! And God began to do some maintenance work. You know why? Because he's alive. All them false religions can't do it. Them television preachers can't do it. Them snot-slinging, faith-healing, hatchka-throwing, crowd-cane-throwing crowd can't do it. Woo! By the way, the independent, fundamental, sin-hating, Bible-believing, virgin-birth-believing, hell-preaching, devil-preaching, Baptist preacher can't do it. But God can. God said, I gotta do a little maintenance work on that home right there. Put that home back, get some little kids to grow up. Woo! Y'all have to excuse me by having a shouting spell. Boy, I tell you what, the Holy Ghost, I like it when God moves in a sermon, don't you? I'm like I heard one fella say tonight, hey man, we don't need so much an outline. I believe in giving people something, but we need an end line. We need an end line. The other day a fella come work on one of my computers. And he said, it wouldn't do right. It was a computer operating one of our radio streams. And he said, the problem with this thing is, said, you got it set wrong. He said, the line in ain't set right. He said, it's set to microphone. Well, the microphone is something you talk into and magnify the sound. But that wasn't what I needed. I needed to be plugged into the source. By the way, I can make a sound all day. But if I ain't plugged into the source, it won't work. He fixed that thing, plugged her in the right source. I went in the production room and I punched a few buttons and whoo, there she come. Hey boy, it makes a difference when you get plugged in the right source. He's living. Boy, sometimes my sermons need a little maintenance, don't yours? Man, I struggle and feel like I'm preaching against a brick wall. All of a sudden, God said, I'm going to do some maintenance on old Cothran over there. I'm going to help him. He may not be a great preacher, but when I get done with him, I want to make a Holy Ghost preacher out of him. Amen. Whoa, God lives. One of the characters I describe God is living. I got to hurry, man. I won't ever finish this sermon. Number three, can I give you this one? I use the word king. Jeremiah 10:10 said, and an everlasting king. Can I tell you that God's king? Why, they thought Baal was king, and they thought their kings. You know, Israel said in the book of Samuel, said, give us a king. Said, it won't be like all the other nations. Samuel said, no, that ain't what God wants. He don't want you to be. They said, no, we're going to have a king. God said, okay, Samuel, give them their king. Boy, he'd give them some kings. David was a good king. But that first king you give them was a failure, Saul. And then, boy, they got Solomon, and he was a failure in his end days, and Rehoboam, and then the northern and the southern kingdom split, and then Israel got Jeroboam. Oh, what a king. Man, some of them wicked kings, I mean, there's Ahab and Omri, and there was Manasseh, he's wicked as a devil over Judah. And listen, but you know what Jeremiah told them people in his day? He said, I want you to know, in Jeremiah 10:10, he said, God's king. I don't know which one of them boys was a king up there in Judah that day and in Israel that day because it was rode over space of two or three different kings. But Jeremiah said, I want you to know God's king. I want you to know that fella sits on the throne of Israel. He might be all right, but God is king. Or he might be a leader. Now, let me give you some marks of the king. Now, you know what the king did? He was the ruler. Now, you know what Jeremiah's telling him? He said, God's the ruler in this day and time, boys. He said, God's the ruler in everything. You might think y'all in rule. Well, up there in Samaria, they may think they got the authority. And over in Jerusalem, they may think they got... And I'll tell you where the authority is, boys. The authority is God's ruling this thing. And we may think they got the authority in Washington. And I believe some of our congressmen, some of our senators, and I pray for them. But I believe they think that America can't do without them. But I got news for you, boys. I got news for you. God's in the rule. You can pass any law you want to. You Supreme Court justices, man, you think you got the power? You think you can make any law you want to? You think you can take away 4,000 years of marriage and God not judge you? And you think you can make it legal to have abortion? I tell you, the men that made that legal and the women, if there's women on that court at that time, they say they've killed millions and millions and millions of babies. I want you to know God's still the ruler. Then I want to say this. You know what the king was? The king was the sole authority. King didn't have to go nobody under Israel's law. The king didn't go to the Senate and the Congress. He was sole authority. May I tell you, God don't have to consult with nobody before he does anything. God can make the sun rise and God can make the sun set. And God can make it rain. God can make it snow. And I'll tell you something, there ain't nothing to this climate change stuff. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Now you say, preacher, you're ignorant. I'm going to give you something. Did you know the weather service put out the other day that they had no, listen to me, everybody pull your ears up real close. The weather service said today they had no climatic data that climate change was affecting anything. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a lie of the devil. It's been a big lie of the liberals that's been put out there to ruin jobs and to ruin people. And I'm not talking about it from a political standpoint. I'm talking about it from a Bible standpoint. Don't go up and say, Brother Rick is political and taking one side out. I'm telling you what the Bible says. The Bible said there, seed time and harvest, day and night, summer and winter, cold and heat. Maybe I didn't quote it word for word. He said, shall not, in other words, they're not going to cease as long as the earth abideth. Genesis chapter number 8, verse number 22. I butchered that verse, but you go read that. I'm sorry I didn't quote it right, but you read that. Brother, ain't no such thing as all this garbage. God's a supreme ruler. You say, well, what about all this weird weather? What about all this weird sin? You say, but what about all these phenomenons? What about the phenomenon of sin? Now let me move on. Did you know the king was rich? Why, the kings of Judah and Israel was rich. I got somebody better than that. Jeremiah said, boy, if you think them boys rich, said you ought to meet my king. My father's rich in houses and lands. He holds the wealth of the world in his hands. Glory to God. Words that describe God. He's a sovereign king. Hallelujah. And then you know he had power. Why, the king has power. The king had all, whatever he said went. The king had power to make war. The king had power to make peace. God said he turns the heart of the king as the rivers of water. Then you know the king, he had power to, he judged Israel. Back in those days, you'd be riding down a horse and buggy, a chariot, maybe you'd be walking along. Most everybody didn't have a chariot, but the kings would. But the king's chariot, most time he wouldn't even stop for you. But if you was going down the road, you'd say, oh, king. And he'd say, yeah. And you'd say, I have a problem. My neighbor disputes with me over the land or whatever. And the king would make judgment right there and give you judgment. He did it in the Bible. Can I tell you something? God's going to judge his people. Somebody said, preacher, do you worry about those who don't like you? No, sir. It'll all be settled out in judgment seat. I ain't got time to deal with it now. You say, preacher, do you get mad at those who say evil things against you? No, sir. Just take the attitude that'll be worked out in the judgment seat. You ain't got time for it right now. If we just quit worrying about things and let God work them out, we'd be all right. Now, let me show you this about this sovereign king. Boy, words that describe the character of God, he's king. Then I want you to notice, amen, the servants. Why, every king had servants. Did you know Jeremiah probably thinking, man, if you think your king's got servants, you ought to see my God. Well, he's got servants you ain't even never thought of. You know, Elijah got discouraged. And he said, God said, Elijah. Now, some writers believe that was in the future. I believe it was right then. He said, Elijah said, I've got 7,000. Seven is a number of perfection, and I believe the number of thousands is a number for power. He said, I've got 7,000. Never bowed the knee to Baal, said, they've not kissed him. Can I tell you, glory to God, God still got his remnant. God still got his church. The church ain't going down. The church is going up. Words that describe the character of God. Can I give you the last word is the word wrath. The Bible said in verse number 10, the Bible said, at his wrath, the earth shall tremble and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Did you know God's, and I've already touched this, that God's a wrathful God. God's going to judge the sinner one day in hell. Then I want to say, not is God going to judge the sinner. But and by the way, he is. If you're lost, God's going to judge you in a lake of fire and in hell one day. You better get saved. But I don't want to see you go there. Did you know God's going to judge the nations? I read that in the Bible. I don't have to judge America. God's going to. Somebody said, well, if God don't judge America, he'll have to dig Sodom and Gomorrah up and apologize to her. First of all, God ain't going to dig nobody up and apologize to nobody. And secondly, God's going to judge America. I'll tell you the only thing holding America's judgment off right now is the born-again Christians and the churches in America. I was talking to a Filipino missionary just today. And I said to this man, I never met him, I was talking to him on the phone. And I said to him, sir, pray for our nation. He said, I will, sir. In his broken English, he said, sir, I pray for your nation. I told him, I said, in 20 years from right now, the way things are going, you're going to be sending missionaries to us. But then you know something else God's going to judge? And I feel like the Holy Ghost wants me to say this, and I say it in love. God's going to judge the straying saint. You think you're getting by? Let me tell you something. There's never been a saved person that gets by with sin. By the way, there ain't no such thing as a carnal Christian. You can't show me in the Bible where there might be a carnal saved person. Those saints at Corinth were carnal, but they was not Christians. Christians is Christ-like. And I want to tell you something. Let me tell you something. We got very few. Now you listen to what I'm going to tell you. We've got very few Christians. Christian is your life where it ought to be. God loves you. You know, I'll close with this. I think about John Mark in the Bible. He was a failure. I'm not going to give Barnabas some of the glory that other preachers have, because I think Barnabas failed too. You never hear anything, my Bible tells me, you never hear anything else out of Barnabas after him and Paul disputed. And my Bible also tells me that the church recommended Paul. It doesn't say the church recommended Barnabas. But what got the dispute going was Barnabas said, I want to take Mark with us, and it was his nephew. And Paul said, no, said, it's not good to take him. Said, he left the work in Pamphylia, by the way, an unfaithful man, amen, in time of troubles, like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. And Paul said, no, we're not going to take him. But somewhere along the way, I don't know what happened, but somewhere along the way, old Mark got right with God. Mark got his ministry back right, and Paul wrote in another place and said, he's profitable to me. And that little failure at Pamphylia wrote the book of Mark, portraying our Lord and Savior as the servant. Oh, what a gospel, the gospel of Mark. You know what? Wrote by failure. Can I tell you, you may feel like your life's over. You may have been in church and out of church, in church and out of church. You may have wasted all kind of time. Let me tell you what to do. Forget that. You can't change the past. But you can ruin the present by worrying over the future. It's what you do. Bow your head right now. Words that describe the character of God. Don't be in God's wrath. Be in God's living. Be in God's truth. Be in God's kingship. Amen. Recognize God for who He is. God's not just a God of wrath. God's a God of love too. Amen. If you're not saved, get saved. If you're straying, get right. Father, take the message. Use it for your glory this day. I love you in Jesus' name. Amen.